Hello and welcome back to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name's Eric Jensen, and I am joined today by the great Trey Watkins. We took about a week off for Thanksgiving, had a busy work week this week as well, but next week things start to slow down. We're going to try to do two episodes next week, no promises, but we're going to give it a shot. And here we are, Trey. We're past Thanksgiving. The NFL season is, you know, just starting. Everybody always says, you know, the season doesn't start till Thanksgiving. Well, we're post Thanksgiving now, and we're on our way. How are you doing?
All right. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's just the whole vibe of the NFL season starting to ramp up. So, the whole NFL season really starting to ramp up. So, I don't know. It's just the brunt of the NFL season starting to ramp up. Oh, I said that earlier. Gosh, it's a bad day today. It's just the brunt of the NFL season starting to ramp up today. The playoff picture starting to take shape, starting to figure out which teams are threats to take a wild card spot and which teams aren't. It's a chaotic time, but it's a fun time. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And today we're trying to keep this podcast a little shorter. I saw some feedback online that, you know, hour and a half podcasts are fun for us, but they're not necessarily the most listenable to, even though we're only doing one a week at this point. Hopefully when we go down to two a week, that'll, you know, it'll help us out with that, and we won't have such long episodes, because we'll just be breaking down things from either the previous week and then on the other one previewing, so there won't be a ton of overlap. But today we're just going to go rapid fire, kind of 2-minute drill style, across the top 10 teams in each conference. So that's the 7 playoff teams and the 3 teams outside in the wild card race. So we're just going to talk about those teams and, you know, see how we feel about them going into the, you know, week. What is this week? What week will this be? It'll be week 13, right? Coming up of the NFL season. So let's start with the AFC. I'm going to let you go first, Trey, because I want you to be able to take the Titans. So I'll let you go first.
Well, currently, the first seed in the AFC belongs to the Baltimore Ravens, and I don't know. The Ravens are kind of confusing right now. Their defense has been playing well, I would say, recently, but their offense still has some inconsistency issues at times, and those inconsistency issues were on full display Sunday night against the Browns. Lamar Jackson threw, four interceptions? He threw, like, 3 in, like, a minute and a half of game time. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. So, but if they can just cut down the turnovers, they can get their offense rolling, and their defense can continue to play well, then they'll be as dangerous as any, you know, they'll be as dangerous of any team in the AFC once the playoffs start.
Yeah. Second in the AFC are the New England Patriots right now. Mac Jones is playing pretty well, but I got a chance to go back and watch him a little bit over the past few weeks, and I might not be as impressed as other people are. Yes, he's making some really impressive throws for a rookie, but most of these guys are getting wide open. I think Josh McDaniels has done an excellent job of curating this offense. Kendrick Bourne and Jacoby Myers in particular have really emerged as legitimate weapons over the past few weeks. And I think it's interesting to see this New England wide receiver core that has been kind of thin for a few years start to develop a little bit of in-house talent between those two. I think if they continue to play well throughout the offseason, throughout the rest of the season, the sky's the limits for the Pats. But really what's impressive is their defense and Matthew Judon, who has been incredible, and Christian Barmore, I believe, who is just a really great defensive lineman for them. right now. And I was super impressed with the way their defensive line has played over the past few weeks. They didn't have a great showing against the Titans, but they did have a good enough day that they were able to get the win and take care of business. So that's the Patriots.
Yeah, third in the AFC is the Tennessee Titans. With the Tennessee Titans, it's really all about injuries at this point. They have 17 players in IR, and a good majority of them are starters. A.J. Brown is still in IR. Julio Jones is still on IR. It's just a plethora of important players that they need that are sitting at home trying to rehab injuries right now. And until those injuries really start to, you know, lighten up on them a little bit, then the ceiling on this Titans team just isn't particularly all that high. Now, the good thing for them is that they're expected to get some guys back over the bye, which is supposedly Julio Jones. He's been IR. He's been on IR for 3 weeks now. Remains to be seen if he comes off and he's ready to play against Jacksonville next week, but I assume he will. You get Julio Jones back, you can, you know, take some of that pressure off some of the reserve guys and wide receiver core. Dontrell Hilliard and Deontay Foreman, although they've had some fumble issues ever since they've taken over the workload from Derrick Henry when he got hurt, they've been decent enough to where the running game hasn't become too much of a crazy concern. So I think the only concerns that really exist for this Titans team, you know, during the stretch run that's to come is injuries, of course, and also turnovers. You know, I mentioned Deontay Foreman. I mentioned Dontre Hilliard, but Ryan Tannehill has had a really bad turnover problem the last couple weeks. He had four or five picks against Houston. And I believe he had a pick in New England. I have to go back and look at the stats, though. But turnovers have become a problem for him, as have his misses in big-time situations. You know, he missed Chester Rogers on a throw on Sunday against New England that would have pushed the Titans inside of the Patriots' 10-yard line on third down. Or it was supposedly it was on third down. And we gave him a first down inside of the Patriots' 10-yard line, but he's flat-out missed them. The Titans had to punt it away. So those type of opportunities Ryan Tannehill can't miss, especially while Derrick Henry is out. So if they can clean up the turnovers, get healthy, and they can also start creating some turnovers defensively, then I think they'll be fine come playoff time.
Yeah, the next team in the AFC is the Kansas City Chiefs coming off a bye week. Obviously, the big, you know, thing everyone says is, oh, look out for Andy Reid off a bye. Hopefully that's the case this year, because through the first half, you know, the Chiefs offense has looked pretty average when they've played. They had a really nice performance against the Raiders a few weeks ago, but then they go and they play against Dallas the week before last, and the offense kind of struggles again. They only are able to put up 19 points. They become kind of a ball control offense. My thing with the Chiefs, though, is I'm just super impressed with the way they've been able to switch modes, because they are, despite the offense not looking pretty, they are winning games. They're on a 4-game winning streak right now, and they've got the Broncos, Raiders, and Chargers coming up, and all those teams, the way they're playing right now, are definitely beatable if the Chiefs can put together good performances like this, especially good performances where the defense is dominant, which is what has happened over the past 3 or 4 weeks, allowing 7 points to the Packers, 17 to the Giants, 14 to the Raiders, 9 to the Dallas Cowboys. Those are some really good defensive numbers considering the opponents they're playing. And I think that the Chiefs, I'm just really impressed how they went from the first half of the season, the first quarter of the season, being kind of an all-out offense team that could score 33 points at will and had to keep up with their defense, to now that their offense is struggling, they've switched to a defense-first team with a ball-control offense that's really effective at running the ball and keeping the ball out of the opponent's hands in crunch time. I just think it's impressive that the Chiefs have been able to get through this year, and they're still, you know, 7-4 in the mix for the one seed, even only a game back from the Ravens. I just think it's been really impressive, Trey, what the Chiefs have been able to do this year, because, you know, we expected them to be this high flying offense, but they've been able to win with defense and win in different ways, even when Patrick Mahomes isn't even playing like a top five quarterback right now.
Yeah, agreed. Fifth team in the AFC currently right now is the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals are a little bit of a mixed card right now. They put together some decent wins this year. Most notable, or one of the more notable wins, was that road win, that dominating road win against the Baltimore Ravens, and also that dominating road win they had against the Pittsburgh Steelers earlier this year. It seems like they're eliminating their demons that they've had to overcome against AFC North opponents, which have actually treated Cincinnati like a doormat over the last few seasons, and rightfully so. They've been one of the worst teams in football over the past couple of years. You know, their roster's been bad. They've had no quarterback, and they've had wide receiver play, but they've still had no offensive line. It's just been a disjumbled mess. But this year, it seems they're putting it together despite some deficiencies, maybe along the offensive line and defensively, where there's not a lot of, you know, a whole lot of big names, but they still have some names there. Trey Hendrickson, Larry Ogunjobi, DJ Reader, Jesse Bates, most notably, those type of guys have been real nice for the Bengals this year. You know, they've also had, you know, a weird loss or two. It was the blowout loss to the Browns after the whole OBJ fiasco. That was a weird loss. They're a young team. They're a young team. They're going to learn, and they're going to learn by experience as the season goes on. And probably the best experience is probably important games that you have down the stretch to secure a playoff spot and maybe even a division crown. So they'll have a target on their backs. They'll be heavily looked at as a team that could push for a playoff spot. And yes, they're currently a playoff spot right now, fifth in the conference. They're only, I think it's a game behind the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC North right now. So they can keep this up, they can maybe push for a division crown, but they're a young team. They just need to stay grounded. They just need to limit mistakes. And they just need to stay healthy, as any playoff contending team needs to be down the stretch. So if everything goes well, this Bengals team should be a playoff team. They could be an intriguing team to watch for in the playoffs against a top, you know, contender seed wise against maybe Baltimore, New England, you know, maybe even Tennessee or Kansas City, however the top half of the conference standing shakes out by the time the regular season ends.
Yeah, the Buffalo Bills, they're the sixth team in the AFC right now. I'm a little bit confused by them, because everyone kind of says, oh, well, it's because Josh Allen isn't playing as well. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think Josh Allen has played really well over the past few weeks and done about as good as a job as can be expected from Josh Allen, but they've just got a lot going against them. The fact that they're not a super effective running team is hurting them. Although against the Saints, you saw Josh Allen starting to run a little bit, and I really think that can be a valuable weapon for the Bills going forward, is the fact that you can use Josh Allen as a runner and a way to make teams respect your running game. I really do think that's a way that this Bills team can open up the passing game a little bit, is to continue to use Josh Allen as a runner. Defense, some terrible news after the Thanksgiving game, losing Trey White for the season. That's tough. He's their best defensive player, one of the best corners in the league. And the Bills defense has really dipped over the past few weeks, even with him on the field. It's going to be interesting to see how they respond down the stretch. They have two really huge matchups against the Patriots coming up over the next 3 weeks. And I think that we'll know within 3 weeks what the Bills are, whether they're a contending team in the AFC or whether they're one of these fringe wildcard teams that's going to have to do, you know, a little bit over these past two games and hope some things go their way to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that Bills team still needs a lot more balance aside from using Josh Allen as just a runner. They need more balance with an efficient run game, a more efficient traditional run game. And they need more efficiency from that if they want to get more balance. Using Josh Allen as a runner isn't really going to be enough, in my opinion. The sixth team in the AFC right now is the Los Angeles Chargers, and the Chargers are even more of a mixed bag right now. They were off to a hot start early on in the year, but lately they've run into some real bad losses, some real weird losses, particularly against the Vikings and just recently on Sunday against the Denver Broncos on the road. So, like the Bengals, the Chargers are also a really young team, but unlike the Bengals, they aren't finding ways to close out these close games and just stack some wins up in the win column, which is unfortunate because this Chargers team, you know, they're young, but they have ambitions, but they don't have room to keep slipping up with games like this. I mean, they only have six wins, and behind them is a plethora of other teams who also have six wins. So they're going to have to be on their horse if they actually want to make the playoffs. Forget about contending for maybe a higher seed in the conference. They're in danger of missing the playoffs right now because so many teams behind them have six or five wins and can actually rail off a couple wins here and things go on for the Chargers. So the Chargers have to get stuff right or they could be in danger of missing the playoffs.
Yeah, it's super interesting with the Chargers. Justin Herbert's kind of up and down, though when you watch him, you never really look at it and say it's his fault, really. But he is kind of a roller coaster ride with sometimes he makes some weird mistakes, and it doesn't help that they can't really run the football. And the fact that the defensive line is not performing super well right now. And they're not able to stop the run. And, you know, we're going to say that a lot, but that really is, you know, if you listen to most analysts and people who know about football, is especially when it gets later in the season, the best thing you can do to win football games is run the football and stop the run. And the Chargers are bad at both of those things. So,
yeah.
It's going to be a struggle moving forward for them.
I'll go ahead and take the chart, the next team here, so you can get the Broncos at 9.
Mine says actually the Broncos are here at 7. That's what ESPN says.
ESPN here has the Broncos at 9.
Okay. All right. It has them right behind the Los Angeles Chargers.
Well, it has them ahead or just behind the Las Vegas Raiders here at 8.
Oh, interesting. That's really weird.
Oh, yeah, because the Raiders.
Are you looking at the conference?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, ESPN has this wrong then because Vegas is 1-2 in the division, actually. Right.
Yeah, I'll take the Broncos here, and then you can hit the Raiders. The Broncos are weird. I tweeted out yesterday, they have two modes, either extremely fun or totally embarrassing. And that really comes down to the fact that their D-line is super thin. After trading Von Miller, they don't really have any way to stop the run. Teams can really bully them up front. So teams with good offensive lines are able to just take control against the Broncos and never really let them touch the field, and with an offense that doesn't score every time they get the ball, that can be kind of a problem. But when the Broncos do get these weaker running teams like the Chargers, they can do things like get some stops here and there and let the offense work. And Teddy Bridgewater is going to give you two touchdowns a game, and that's what he's going to give you. And the Broncos have gotten lucky over the past few weeks with some defensive stops. Patrick Surtain had a pick six on Sunday. Are the Broncos a playoff team? Who knows? Maybe not. They are actually playing for the division this week against the Chiefs, which is a little bit wild, but the Broncos have not won against the Chiefs in 19 meetings, not 19, but something crazy like 16 meetings they haven't won. Basically, since the Peyton Manning era, they have not won against the Chiefs. So that'll be an interesting game to keep an eye on. Am I super hyped about the Broncos? No, but my argument from the last few weeks stands. They're going to finish as a 9-8 or 8-9 team. That's just the way it's going to be. They're not going to get embarrassed and only win like six games. They're going to win two or three more here along the way. Their schedule's just, you know, against a division that's kind of up in the air, and the fact that they play the Lions as well, they're going to get two more wins at least, and maybe three.
Yeah, it's just the Broncos, like you said, are weird, and I don't really know what to expect of them at this point, so I'm just going to stay away from them. They're volatile right now. They're volatile. Behind them right now is the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Raiders, look, I thought the Raiders were dead and done after, you know, they lost to the Chiefs. I'll hope to see loss for them. But then they just come into Thanksgiving Day on the road against the Dallas Cowboys, packed house in Jerry's World, and pull off the upset. Look, I don't know what to make of the Raiders right now. I'm still leaning towards them missing the playoffs. Fringe playoff team with some obvious flaws offensively at times. But gosh, man, they're just one of the weirdest teams in the league right now. They have talent. They've shown they can win against some of the better teams. They've shown they can compete. It's just them all about staying consistent. And that's just been their big problem this year. They haven't been able to stay consistent. Now, granted that they've had two gigantic size distractions this year, you know, in terms of John Gruden and Henry Ruggs, but, you know, putting that aside, they just still just haven't been consistent over these last couple weeks, and it might kill them when it comes to them trying to get a playoff spot. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm not ready to count them out yet, but like I said, I still count them as a fringe playoff team, or maybe as a team that's just going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, finally, the Colts. I'll be really brief on this. I thought they had the win last week. They were in control against the Bucs for a while. They actually were winning with throwing the football. Carson Wentz for a while looked like 2017 Carson Wentz, but then there was a fumble by him and the whole game changed and the Buccaneers took over. The Colts needed to win last week because they could have caught up with the Titans a little bit, but as long as they need to win some games while the Titans aren't at full strength is basically what I'm saying here, and they just haven't done it so far. All right, let's move to the NFC.
All right, number one seed in the NFC right now is the Arizona Cardinals. Pretty impressive season by them today. You know, even with, you know, Kyler Murray, when the whole gang has been healthy, they've been dominating teams. They've been playing really good football. I believe aside from their wacky win against San Francisco 49ers earlier this season when they couldn't even muster 25 points, they've been firmly controlling a lot of games this year. They were in the game against the Packers, you know, when DeAndre Hopkins kept going in and out of the game with that hamstring injury. They've been killing teams on the road when Kyler Murray has been out with that ankle injury. Colt McCoy has looked like a serviceable backup, which, you know, coming into the year, you know, a lot of people thought he might be one of the best backups in football, so because that he's shown in the past that he can do some things and help you win, but he's been playing actually decently well, which is surprising to me. But it just goes to show the improvement the Cardinals have from the coaching side, their scheme, what they allow their players to do. It's been really impressive from the Cardinals this year. And if all goes well, they'll keep on, or they'll hang on to that number one seed, and they'll get a bye, which nobody really thought would be a distant possibility coming into the season because of the way the Cardinals season ended last year in disappointment. So real, real good start for them, but they'll just have to close it out and hold on to that number one seed when the regular season ends.
Yeah. I agree with you on that one. The Packers. Oh, the Packers. They are, they're an interesting team. I think that the number one thing for them is they just need to get to a point where a point where Aaron Rodgers is fully healthy. And that hasn't been the case over the past few weeks. They've still been able to perform pretty well. And, you know, a lot has been said about, you know, some of these draft classes by Brian Gutekunst, their GM right now. But they have a really solid roster, and A.J. Dillon has been a super solid addition to the team. And they've just done a good job of evaluating talent and putting together a team that's, frankly, one of the best in the NFL. And they're winning with defense at the moment, but the offense is still contributing. As weird as that feels to say, I know they're putting up like 35 points a week, but the offense isn't nearly as explosive as it was last year. But they're still winning games, and that's really going to help them out in the long run.
Yeah. Hey, Packers are good. They get healthy. You know, Za'Darius Smith comes back. They're going to be scary. They're going to be really scary. The third team in the NFC right now is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And really the story with the Buccaneers is their defense. Their defense hasn't been as dominant as it was last year, and that's mostly due to the fact that their secondary has been, you know, destroyed by the injury this year. Most of their corners that they want to rely on have dealt with injury issues, and even one of the corners that they brought in to help address these injury issues, Richard Sherman, he's been dealing with some injury issues as well. So their corner situation just hasn't been ideal this year, you know, because of injuries. But if they can get healthy and they can start to get their guys they want to rely on back into the fold and get ramped up a little bit, I think that defense will slowly start to return back to the form that so many people around the league were impressed with last year. It might not be a sudden flip of the switch, but I think you'll see a lot more positivity in terms of statistics and overall play. So they just need to get healthy in the back end. But other than that, I don't really have any concerns about the Bucs right now.
Yeah, Tom Brady's not playing his best football, but he's still playing well enough that they're getting wins. And that's really all that matters for the Bucs right now. And I think that, you know, it really, you know, it shows. So I agree that the Buccaneers, they're really just going to get better as the year goes on. Defense is looking good. The Dallas Cowboys, man, there are two modes of thought here. One, you should worry a little bit because they've dropped some games, and in bigger moments this year, Dak has not looked great. He's kind of struggled in the fourth quarter, and when things are on the line, especially you look at that Raiders overtime, he needs to make those throws in that first overtime drive, and he doesn't. He kind of misses them. Weirdly, the Dak Prescott dilemma at this point, and what people like Donnie make the argument of, that he's not really a big game quarterback and that he struggles in December, and that, you know, he's still good, but is he really a guy that's going to win a Super Bowl? Those are the same questions that came up around Tony Romo throughout his entire career. I just think the parallel there is kind of interesting. I think part of why Dak has kind of slowed down a little bit over the past few weeks is just because he's missing weapons. CeeDee Lamb had a concussion. Amari Cooper had COVID. Cedric Wilson has emerged as a really nice weapon, and they have some depth there at wide receiver, but when they get those two top guys back and everybody's back and moving at full strength, who knows what the Cowboys can do. But right now they're kind of on a downward trajectory, I would say, and they don't look like a Super Bowl team right now, as I have been kind of saying they have through the first half of the year. Over the past 3 weeks, you know, my opinion of them has really changed quite a bit.
The Cowboys just they're just topsy-turvy right now. I think they'll be fine. They're talented enough to do so, but it's just something to keep an eye on as we go forward. Next up are the Los Angeles Rams, and geez, fifth in the conference. That's something I didn't really expect about a month ago when the Rams were flying high and their offense was playing well. Defensively, they were playing good enough football. But lately, it seems like the Rams have just, you know, fell short of acquiring any sort of momentum on both sides of the ball. I mean, offensively, I think the issues that popped up in their game against the Titans have started to ravage out of control and just send this unit into a downward spiral. I mean, the offensive line is, you know, struggling a little bit with pass protection. Matthew Stafford has turned back into the Lion Stafford, which is certainly not good at all, and definitely not the player he was during the first month and a half, 2 months of the season. And the running game just hasn't been all that crazy. It hasn't been all that crazy this year, which is somewhat surprising to say, considering Sean McVay's offense bases everything around successfully running the football. But that just hasn't been the case this year. Defensively, they've just fallen off from where they were last year. I mean, defensively last year, the Rams had a whole bunch of guys, a lot of guys that weren't huge household names. I mean, you had Aaron Donald, you had Leonard Floyd, who was good last year. You had Jalen Ramsey. But apart from those guys, they were filled with guys that you wouldn't, you know, expect the average NFL fan to know. But they lost Troy Hill. They lost John Johnson. I think their corner situation has been a little bit shaky this year. It just hasn't been the same suffocating unit as it was last year. And I think that just goes to show how good of a coordinator Brandon Staley was last year and why he got that head coaching job with the Chargers. But it's just been a weird couple of weeks for the Rams. Now, they're still talented enough. They still have a really good staff, and I think they'll eventually figure it out, but we're in week 13 coming up now. They have to get going because, you know, you don't want to be caught on the flat foot going into the playoffs, because, you know, carrying that sort of momentum into the playoffs is almost like a death sentence these days. So the Rams have to keep, you know, find a way to reverse track and keep it going, and if they can't, then who knows?
Yeah, the Rams are certainly an interesting team right now. The San Francisco 49ers, good news for them. Debo Samuel, a groin injury, only expected to be out a week. They've done some really nice things. They are kind of the opposite of the Rams. They've found their running game in the past few weeks, and that paired with the fact that the defense has looked really good has really helped them out, and they are now kind of a playoff team. Now, I know we went super deep with AFC stuff just because there's a lot of teams in the AFC that could still make the playoffs, but the NFC is a little bit shorter actually, Trey, so we're gonna stop with the Vikings. But first, I want you to tell me what you think about the Washington football team, who just made the playoffs after a win against Seattle on Monday night.
Yeah, the Washington football team, they're an interesting team right now, because over the first couple weeks of the season, their defense wasn't good, and the offense just didn't look all that potent when Taylor Heineke first started trying to get adjusted to his new role as the starter. But now, I think you're starting to see the Washington football team that so many people envision them being after their success that they had last year. Granted that the offense still isn't blockbuster and it isn't high flying and isn't scoring a crazy amount of points, but it's doing just enough. And with the way the defense is playing right now, I think that's, you know, that's all you can really ask for at this point. I mean, they lost Chase Young, but after they lost Chase Young, the pass rush and the in terms of setting edge, it's gotten better. It's gotten better, which is really weird to say when you lose a player as, you know, as high caliber as Chase Young, but that's just been the case. So if they can just simply continue to ride this way, play good defense, they just don't turn the football over offensively, and they can just get just enough from Taylor Heineke and lean on Antonio Gibson, and their weapons can stay healthy. Asante Samuel just came back from a real weird muscle injury that he had. He only played about 15, 20 snaps on Monday night. If he can gradually get healthy, run game can stay good, Taylor Heinicke can avoid turnovers, then this Washington football team could be somewhat dangerous. You never know.
Yeah. Finally, the Vikings, just a weird team all around. Kirk Cousins has played arguably the best season of his career, I would say. He's looked awesome in pretty much every game he's played. But still, their defense isn't quite up to snuff, and they just have a tough time closing out against better teams. And they weren't really able to stop San Francisco running the ball, and they kind of just struggle with that in general. But they, like the Washington football team, are the primary team that's going to be competing for that spot. Just briefly, the Falcons, they don't really have any juice. They only look really great when they beat the Jaguars, and even the Jaguars kind of held them down, what didn't allow a ton of points against them. And the Saints are just entirely broken right now. This is probably the low point of the Sean Payton era right now in New Orleans. Just not great. So that's it, Trey. That's the NFL right now. That's the NFL playoff picture. Next week, we're going to try to do two episodes. And yeah, I think that was good. I think this probably ran about 45 minutes, which is, I think, a good length for a podcast. Mm-hmm. So we'll do that, and we'll see you next time. Okay, Trey?
Yes, sir.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Peace out.
Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.